Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
Hello, Patriots. You got Doc Holliday here. You're listening to Rock Splitting Politics. That's Rock Splitting Politics. And you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And once again, we got to pack a lot into this show. We are getting our sledgehammers ready. We're ready to go slashing, crashing, chopping away at the status quo right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Let me tell you what we got today. First of all, we're going to be talking about Michigan, Arizona. We got to talk about that. This is the week of Super Tuesday, so we'll be talking about Super Tuesday. What's going on in the Republican nomination? Who's winning? Who's getting ahead? What's going on? We're going to get to that because everything's going to come crashing down like a sledgehammer on the status quo. We got some rock-splitting politics here. Let me tell you what else we have. You can go back to last week and listen to C.L. Bryant's Runaway Slave movie. What a great interview, Reverend C.L. Bryant. Go back and listen to that show. You need to if you want to understand what rock-splitting politics is all about. But today's show, we'll be talking to who else? Somebody you may not have heard of, but it's Debbie Lane of the Abigail Adams Project. It's nothing to do with Acorn, but we got to get some people to the polls who know about the Constitution. So we'll be talking to Debbie Lane here in just a few minutes. And the Abigail Adams Project, if you don't know about it, you got to find out because it is one of the many aspects of rock-splitting politics that's going to change this nation and get us back onto a sound constitutional principle. Now, in the rest of the show, we got this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. I'm going to tell you it's going to go to somebody you don't know why I'm giving it to him, probably. It's going to Rick Santorum. You stay tuned, and I'm going to tell you why he gets this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award. And we've got another outstanding rock-splitting Obama fact. Yes, it's a fact that Barack Obama is misleading people when he opens his mouth. Someone said, I know when he's lying. I can tell when he's lying because his lips move. Well, I'm telling you, we remember time and time again, don't listen to what President Obama says. Watch his actions and what he does. So this week's rock-splitting Obama fact at the end of the show, it's one that you've probably not heard of. You need to know about because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. You're not going to hear it on the mainstream media. You're not going to hear it even in most of the conservative news operations. I'm telling you, you come here to Rock Splitting Politics every week, and you're going to be better informed, and you're going to know about things that are important, they may be small, but they're important in the big picture. Right here on Rock Splitting Politics, with Doc Holliday, you're going to be informed about the big picture and the little picture. We're going to think big, know what's going on in the small scale, because we have got to remember the three most important words of 2012 is get Obama out. That's what we're going to be talking about in Rock Splitting Politics. We're going to get right into it today, because I'm telling you what's going on right now in Afghanistan. We saw last week where the president said he came out and apologized and it calmed everything down. Do you think it's calm? Well, let me tell you something right here, right off the bat. I don't want anybody to think that I believe that all people who are into Islam or are Muslim are terrorists. In no way. I know it's a small number, but I do know that when you see what went on in Afghanistan after some Qurans were caught burning in a fire on a military base, where was President Obama when there was a shooting at Fort Hood? He said, let's get all the facts. Let's don't jump to conclusions. He said, let's just hold everything back. Don't anybody think anything. But as soon as something happens, like the Quran burning and we don't know who put it in there. We don't know where. Hey, maybe it was a terrorist who, or maybe it was somebody locally who did it on purpose that was intervening for the Taliban. We don't know. But why didn't President Obama say, let's get all the facts right? No, he apologized, and it showed a kind of weakness. We know that. Now, either he's naive or he knows exactly what he's doing. Either way, it's scary to me that we have no leadership coming out of the White House, coming out of Washington. We got soldiers who were murdered. I mean murdered. And where's the apology to their families? Where's the apology to the United States military? Where is the apology from Afghanistan? I'd like to know. It's not leadership that I see in the White House now. Where's the commander-in-chief? What is he doing about leadership? I see none. Now, wow, I'd like to talk a lot more about that, but we got so much to get in this show, I've got to move on. But I'm telling you, watch in the coming weeks what's going on in the Middle East. It's something that needs strong leadership where people know what you're saying and you mean what you say and you do what you say. And when we see somebody apologizing, it shows weakness. We as Americans don't understand the mindset of people who read the Quran in a big part. And there's a part in the Quran that says, this is what it says. It's okay to lie to the infidel. Are we the infidels? Yes, I believe so. And they look for signs of weakness. Apologizing without getting any reciprocal apologies for murders, for outright murders of U.S. military. You know, if you're not going to find the facts on the Quran burning, you're not going to say, let's have an investigation, let everything cool down, then we need immediate apologies for the murders of United States civil servants and of the military. So President Obama has failed to show leadership, and it's going to cause a deterioration in an already hotbed of the world, the Middle East. So let's pray for the best, but we better be prepared for the worst. And that's all I got to say about this week on this subject of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. But beware and watch, because the sign of weakness usually is going to be a piling on, I'm afraid. I pray not. But there's going to be a piling on when they see weakness. Those who are terror-minded, those who are involved in the radical Islamic jihad that wants to destroy America, when they see signs of weakness, there's a piling on. And we got to move on to today's show, but let's watch what goes on in the next few weeks. I pray for the protection of our military and men and women and those in the civil service there in Afghanistan. Now, we got to talk about Michigan. Yes. Was it a Romney meltdown? No. No meltdown on Romney. Was it Santorum rise in the polls? No. He rose in the polls, didn't get the job done. He came close. So, yes, he can declare it almost a win. And he'd got as many delegates as Mitt Romney. Of course, Romney won everything in Arizona. It's a winner take all. But all it does is line us up for Super Tuesday. This week, this is the week of Super Tuesday. We know we got contests in Tennessee, Ohio, Georgia, about 10 states here, caucuses and primaries. So this week's very important. Many of you are going to go to the polls. Who are you going to vote for? Well, if I had to vote today, I don't know who I'd vote for. It'd be Santorum or Gingrich. I like Newt, but he has been shot down so many times. Can he rise again for a third time and come back strong? And I'll get behind Romney, like I've told you on this microphone before. Whoever comes out as nominee will have to support. But I want the strongest conservative to make the biggest contrast to this liberal, far left wing administration that has nothing holding it back. And I fear for the fate of my children and this country if we have to go through 4 more years of this left leaning, pushing administration that knows nothing about staying within its constitutional bounds. The American people, we have got to know the Constitution, and we've got to get our act together. And it goes to where are we going to go looking for the Republican nominee? Many of you are voting this week, so let me tell you. You look at the facts, and I would like to see a challenge to Romney. I do not want to automatically give it to Romney. He's got a bloody nose, and everybody says, hey, let's don't weaken our candidate. We've got to get all the chance we can. If Romney's going to be the nominee, we've got to make sure he got all the money he can. Let's stop the contest and just everybody vote for Romney. I can't go into that game. I'm telling you, we need a fighter. And there's one thing I liked about Santorum. He came out fighting. He came out asking for Democrats to get him out the vote. And there was a lot of flack about that. But I'm telling you, we are seeing some maneuvering and some fighting. I don't like all the negative parts of it. Newt Gingrich is having to sharpen his blades because he is, it looks like he's down for the count. You know, if it was wrestling, we had some body slams, and it looks like Newt's down, and he got Santorum and Romney sitting on top of him. I don't know if he's got the political strength to knock him off, but I hope he does. I'd love to see Jedi Newt come out with a lightsaber like Yoda and just save the day. But I don't know if he's got it in him. He's got the ideas. He's got the plan. And if you put Newt Gingrich in the White House, he would know how to get the nation moving. He knows where and how, and he won't have to have any time at all learning the ropes. He's ready to go. The trouble is he's got so much baggage, he's been sinking like a stone every time he gets negative things thrown at him. When he gets negative ads, they stick to him like syrup to pancakes now. It's sticky, and he can't seem to shake it, and it just weights him down. And how he gets that Teflon coating like Ronald Reagan had, I don't know. But he's got to find it, and he's got to find it quickly if he's going to make a go of it. Now, he's going to be coming to Tupelo this week, and I hope, this is where I live, Tupelo, Mississippi, and I hope that we will get Newt to spend some time with us and give us a few words. But we're going to try to do that for next week's show. But let me tell you, that you as the voter, and so many of you are voting this week, that I've got to tell you that you look at the candidates. Who do you think, not who can beat Barack Obama, well, that's important, but I want you to know who can get in the White House and throw the liberal garbage out that we've been stuffed down our throats the last 4 years. That's who I think you need to vote for. Who would be the strongest to go against everything that's been put in place and say we've got to get rid of it, and we're going to work to get rid of it with Congress and every executive order that needs to be done, and let's get rid of all the left-wing garbage that's been thrown on this nation and do it in a constitutional way. That's who you need to vote for. And right now, I am disappointed in Rick Santorum. He had an opportunity that's... It's one that very few people in their lifetimes ever get. And he didn't come through like he could have. So I'm going to tell you about that right now, because it's time for this week's Tombstone of the Week Award. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out my sledgehammer. Let's see. Let me get out my sledgehammer here, and let's find us a tune. What tune can go with a sledgehammer? All right, that is Maxwell Silver Hammer. Now, I don't want to put a hammer on Rick Santorum's head, but I do want to whack away some at his game plan, because I'm telling you, he gets this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award because he blew it. Now, how did Rick Santorum blow it? Well, let me just tell you, there's a lot I like about Rick Santorum, and I think he would make a fine, great, conservative president. But he's got to get his act in order. He's not going to win going around and falling for the media's questions talking about religion. Fine, upstanding man. And I think everybody in the country knows his background, and they know his strong marriage, they know his children, and they know his beliefs. Okay, enough of that. It's jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what I got to tell you, Rick Santorum. He went into Michigan. He was 10 points ahead in Michigan. If he got in there and kept talking about jobs, then he would have got votes, more votes from the Democrats and independents. But he did not talk about jobs because the media kept asking him questions. Look, in Media Relations 101, if you take it, they tell you, if they ask you a question trying to get you off subject, you say, well, I'm not sure about that, but let me tell you about why Michigan doesn't have jobs. That's exactly what he could have said. And Rick Santorum blew it. He had the perfect conditions. Look, it's like he was in a World Series and he had bases loaded. He came up and he swung and he hit the ball, but he got a single. Maybe got a couple runs in because he tied with delegates with Mitt Romney. But he could have had a grand slam in Michigan. Could have put Romney on the ropes and put him straight in the driver's seat for the nomination with strength. And he blew it. So he gets this week's Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award for blowing it in Michigan. He had such potential. But he listened to the media and he fell for their tricks of keeping him off subject and keeping him on religious subjects and these things and social issues. Rick, there's a time and place for that. It's not now. It is about the economy, stupid. Barring the words from a Democratic strategist named James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. And until these Republicans who are running for president stick it to Obama about the economy, they're not going to find the strength it takes to win the nomination. Is Doc Holliday going to have to run for president? It's too late for me. But we got one of these dudes has got to get in there. And he's got to show some strength. And I don't mind the nomination process. I don't care if they bloody each other's noses up. Because we've got to find a fighter that knows the tone and can stand up. And Romney is as hard as he's trying, and he goes in there and he says, well, not only do I drive American cars, my wife has two Cadillacs. And then all of a sudden, everybody jumps on him. Well, you know, not everybody can relate to driving two Cadillacs. Well, he's worth over $200 million. He can drive what he wants to, but I'm still saying he's not like RFK or JFK when they enamored the American people. And will the Republicans ever find somebody? Hey, Ronald Reagan, he appealed to the people. The press hated Ronald Reagan, and they hated him. And you heard all the press was always so angry against Reagan, but he talked to the American people like he was one of them. And that's what it takes. I think the Republican Party and the constituents and the conservatives like me, we all want somebody that all of a sudden we can wave a magic wand and somebody appears and says, that's it. We know it. They've got that gut feeling. He's the one. She's the one. It's not going to be that way now. It's 2012, right in the middle of this election. We have got to get one of these candidates over the wire to the nomination process. They're going to be the nominee. We're going to all have to get behind them. So I don't mind them fighting, going back and forth, hitting each other hard, because I'm telling you, whatever they say is not going to be near as hard as what's coming from the Democratic machine that does not want to relinquish power. So let them fight it out. It's not going to make them weaker. They're not going to break each other's bones, but it better strengthen them. They're going to learn how to fight. So put them in there. Put them in that wrestling match. Newt, get up there and do some body slamming. Go right ahead, and let's get this nomination process on the go, and this primary this week, the Super Tuesday, then following that, there'll be a few states. My state will be voting on March 13th, Mississippi, Alabama, and I think a couple of others. We are in the midst of history. We've never seen an election, a nomination like it's going on right now, where every contender I think everybody but John Huntsman was in the number one spot at one time. And now we are getting to the nitty-gritty. And it's time to let every candidate roll up their shirt sleeves. And I hope Rick Santorum will hear that he got Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award for his failure in Michigan. He can call it a victory, and he did. You know, what he did is he bought himself some more time. He will get some more chances. I don't know if he'll ever get the conditions like he had in Michigan. But he's got to stop letting the press dominate his direction and what he wants to get, the message he wants to get out. I don't care if they ask him about Catholic Church, the social issues. You look, Rick Santorum needs to look him in the eye and say, that is concerns of some other folks who've talked about it. I'm telling you, the most important thing in America is jobs, jobs, jobs. And I'm taking this campaign to the American people who want jobs, and they get behind me, and I will give them jobs, because we're going to get an economy that is rolling because of the energy policies and because of the tax policies and the cutting of the corporate taxes that will get this nation on the move, and we'll get money rolling into the places that need capital to build new businesses. We're going to do it because I've got the plan. That's what Rick Santorum needs to be talking about. And if they ask him anything else, he needs to say, you can put that on the back burner because the American people want jobs, and that's what Rick Santorum is here to do. Now, if Rick could say that, he would have won Michigan. And I can't run. It's too late for me to run. So Rick, Newt, Ron Paul, and Romney, take that message to the bank. That's what's going to win the nomination, and that's what's going to beat Barack Obama in November. Jobs, jobs, jobs. It's the economy, stupid. Stay on it. Don't let the press get you off message. Wow, I took more time than I meant to on that, but I had to get that message across. Somebody tell Rick Santorum to listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics and learn from his mistakes. Wow, now let me take this time just to remind you that you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you, new listeners. Tell your friends and keep telling you. Friends and neighbors and everybody you know about this show. We're growing because of you. Thank you. Thank you. Go back and listen to the past shows. We are rocking the boat when it comes to politics in America. We're taking a sledgehammer to the status quo. And now, well, let me remind you, if you haven't gotten my new book called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, order that book now. You can go right to the front page of the show, click on the book cover, go to my website, www.teaparty.ms, and you can order the book for $9.99. Yes, the Herman Cain plan is alive and well on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because you can get the book right now for $9.99, and it is talking about this election of 2012. It'll tell you what the 70-year itch in American politics is. It'll tell you why this election is like the Battle of Gettysburg. It will tell you why you must get involved. So go there, order the book for $9.99 now. Let's get on with the show. We got to make time to get Debbie Lane on the phone here. And now, some of you have never heard of the Abigail Adams Project, and that's what we're going to talk about here for a few minutes with Debbie Lane, because it's very important for you don't know about this. It's another piece of the puzzle of how to get Obama out. Now, Debbie will tell us about what the Abigail Adams Project is, and it's for men and women. When I first heard it, I thought, well, hey, that's good. That's for women. And no, it's for everybody. So let's listen to Debbie Lane. I'm going to dial her up right now. That I was not familiar with the Abigail Adams Project, and I know there's probably a lot of folks that are not. So tell us a little bit about what is the Abigail Adams Project.
Well, the Abigail Adams Project is a national, nonpartisan voter education effort. And what we do is create voter guides and they're created out of surveys that are taken by candidates. for office. The Abigail Adams Project was begun in 2005 by a woman named Kimberly Fletcher, who was the founder and president of Homemakers for America. So it's been around. We predate the Tea Party movement, but in the last year, since I have been leading the project, we have shifted our focus away from social issues, social and religious issues, and more to the Constitution. In fact, we focus exclusively on the Constitution.
What do you find when you focus on the Constitution? Do you find a lot of excitement, or is that what you see?
Well, I think that's probably true. However, problems that we were running up against earlier on was that the candidates were giving us pushback. They were not wanting to answer questions about religion or social issues such as abortion or family, this, that, and the other. And I understood that because in the United States, we have freedom of religion, and so many of us have different perspectives. And so they weren't wanting to address those issues. And my idea was that everybody, every citizen, every voter ought to be able to get behind the Constitution because it's what's made our country so strong and so great.
Well, when you work with the Constitution, do you find that more citizens wanting to register, or do you run into people who are not registered to vote and try to get them registered? Is that part of your project?
One of the things that is so gratifying is that people, when we explain what we do, that we create these candidate surveys, and from them we create voter guides, and that the voter guides list, voter guide has 17 questions. They're multiple answer questions, and then there are seven narrative questions. It's not so much that we are getting people who are registering to vote, but people say, oh, this is because we don't list the candidate's party affiliation. That's why we deem ourselves nonpartisan. And people say to us, that's such a great idea. I would really love to know what the candidates are thinking and saying about their roles and responsibilities without the prism of party politics. And that makes a big difference. People are not really interested so much in the Constitution per se, but it's something that's one of our goals, is to empower the electorate through information and knowledge, and to foster and create an atmosphere of constitutional literacy. We will never, ever be able to get our country back to the place that it needs to be unless we demand a higher constitutional standard from the people that are running for office. And we can't demand that from them if we don't know what it is.
Well, do you look at things like just what President Obama's done in the past 2 or 3 years that to me seem unconstitutional? Others do. Do you take a stand on saying this politician has done is not along with the Constitution? Do you go back and say this is not constitutional, or do you just put their stands on issues?
We really, it's their responses to the survey questions. I mean, we report and we let the voters decide.
Okay.
There are areas, we do research. If we have people that volunteer in an area, for example, and they get in touch with their supervisor of elections, which we have to have, if the Abigail Adams Project is going into an area, we need one volunteer that will contact the supervisor of elections, get that candidate, that slate of candidates, get their contact information so that we can get in touch with them and send them their secure link so that they can actually take the survey.
If somebody's interested in bringing the Abigail Adams Project to their area or their state, and where there's no presence now, who would they need to contact? Would that be you?
They can go to the website. There are places, the website, we offer these voter guides free to everyone. You can download them and print them out. And there is a place on the website. We're not a membership organization. We don't ask for dues, but we do ask people to register at the website so that we know who's asking for this information.
Right.
And which we're happy to give to them. And when you go to download, there are areas on the website that will ask you if you're interested in volunteering. And if you are and you contact us, we will be in touch with you pretty quick.
Debbie, I know you're real involved with getting this information out. You go talking and speaking to groups. What do you see in the groups you're speaking? Are there still a lot of people looking for jobs? And are, if they are they motivated on constitutional principles of what makes this nation work and wonder why they're not getting a job now?
The jobless rate is such concern to everyone. There are everywhere you go. You know, it's a prevalent everywhere.
Right.
I think that the people that I, particularly the crowds that I'm moving in, they are so active and engaged. There are many of them that have lost their jobs, but what they have begun to do is activate themselves as, you know, people who are working to change our system so that we can get the government out of the business environment so that we can grow and thrive.
And when you say changing the system, now how are they going about that? Getting together like a Tea Party or 9/12 project, or how are they trying to change the system, the people that, in the crowds you're working with?
Well, for example, in Putnam County, Florida, they are actually putting together debates, and they're getting their candidates for all offices on all levels in Putnam County for supervisor of elections, tax collector, school board, sheriff. They run these debates, and they are really honing in, drilling down on what these candidates think and what their positions are on constitutional issues. And they are making really informed decisions. So in their particular area, you know, all politics is local, and government is certainly where you're affected most is on the local level. They are getting in there, and they're making a difference in that they are giving this information to people. You know, when they started, they could not buy an ad in the local newspaper. Uh-huh. They would call, and they would try to get an ad, and they'd take the information at the newspaper, and they'd never run it. Uh-huh. Now they're sending reporters, and they're doing above-the-fold articles about these debates. And so they're having an impact not only on what the candidates are putting out there for general consumption, but the way it's being reported to the population in that county. And that's huge.
And it was Debbie Lane from the Abigail Adams Project. You can go to that website, abigailadamsproject.com. Go check out, because it's a wonderful group, and it's exciting to me. A couple of nuggets I got from Debbie is that there are people who are going out and registering people to vote and getting people excited about candidates basing their whole candidacy on the Constitution. And they do voter guides. That's the second nugget. You can get voter guides. Go there and see how candidates are stacking up against the Constitution and support that group. If it's something you want to do and get involved in, then check it out. Like she said, they need volunteers. And it's for men and women, the AbigailAdamsProject.com. Go check it out. And we appreciate Debbie for coming on there. Now, I wish we had more time, but time keeps running short on these shows. We got so much to talk about here in the presidential election year. And before we get to this week's rock-splitting Obama fact, I got to tell you about one thing that just I saw in the news and I couldn't believe. Did you read this? Harvard Law Professor Alan Dershowitz, and he is by no means a conservative, by any means at all, but this is what he had to say. He says he's declaring war on the left-wing George Soros-financed website Media Matters for America over its depiction of Israel. And Dershowitz says he's going to make it into a re-election issue for President Barack Obama. Go for it, Alan Dershowitz. Man, I'm telling you, there's people who are starting to wake up and they see the lack of leadership. They see the way this president is lying. Yes, I said it. You lie. And I'm going to tell you about it in another lie that the president has told us here in this week's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Obama Fact. Okay, you know how President Obama said that never would he let a lobbyist come on and work and raise money. And he said the campaign, the Obama campaign has repeatedly claimed they do not accept donations from registered lobbyists. Well, let me tell you, here's a story that came out. You won't hear this anywhere else, but it came out and it should be reported everywhere. Former Representative Ron Klein, a Democrat from Florida, was never a lobbyist, according to an amended, amended lobbyist registration document filed Thursday. That was last week, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, with the Senate Office of Public Records. Now, the article goes on and says, it's first reported by the Washington Free Beacon on Wednesday that Klein's name appeared on a lobbyist registration form filed on January 30th, 2012, disclosing a contract between Spirit Airlines Incorporated and Holland & Knight LLP, the lobbying firm where Klein works. Okay? He's got a job there. And Klein was telling NBC on a couple of days after that his registration was a result of a clerical error. Oh, I wonder if his paycheck was from a clerical era. And he needs to let us know. And that he intended, this is what he said, that he intended to deregister immediately and resume bundling for the Obama campaign. Because guess what? Klein is an active bundler for the president's reelection campaign, having raised between $200,000 to $500,000. I'm not a lobbyist, he said. However, Klein's statements, as well as the recently filed amendment, appear to contradict the remarks of a senior official with the Obama campaign who told the Politico the campaign had cut ties with Klein, who had stopped raising money the minute he became a lobbyist. You go figure it out. I'm telling you, like we said before, the president is not telling the whole truth. Klein said the campaign had never contacted him. He's raised $200,000 to $500,000. He wants something in the re-election of a Barack Obama. He's looking for something, and he's out raising money. And he's also somehow, I wondered if he got him a check from the lobbying firm that he had to sign on to. That's what's going on. You need to know about it. That's this week's Obama rock splitting fact, and what a way to end up. I've just got to tell you right here, next week we got so much to talk about. Super Tuesday, we're going to be talking about what happened on Super Tuesday, the direction of the Republican nomination. And I've just got to tell you that right now, that we, as Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, are going to keep reminding you that we, as a nation, as a country, as a free people, as patriots, have got to implant three words into every American's head, and that is, get Obama out. I'll see you next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.